Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
My dear listening friends, seldom did Jesus Christ condemn anything more severely than he did hypocrisy. The word hypocrisy is a word from which most of us turn away with an understandable degree of disgust. We would never want to think of ourselves in terms of being a hypocrite. I doubt that anybody could hurt you more than to come to you and say to you that you are a hypocrite. I doubt that you would be able to offend anybody else more severely than to walk up to them and tell them that he's a hypocrite. Now, the word hypocrisy means to play a part, like you're on a stage, acting out something, practicing something, feigning to be what you're really not. Making the appearance to feel things that you really do not feel. Making things look like you have certain characteristics and certain virtues or even a faith that you really don't possess and you don't have. You put on a show. You make it appear to be that way, but it's not really that way. Hypocrisy is very closely akin, isn't it, to being dishonest. A hypocrite is a person that lacks integrity. A hypocrite is a person that practices deceit. Lying is a first cousin to hypocrisy. Ananias and Sapphira, of whom we read in the early days of the Lord's church, were hypocrites. They made it appear that they had been more generous in their contributions to the cause of Christ than they really had been. They tried to get brethren to think of them more highly than they were deserving. And as a result, God's wrath was brought against those people and he struck them down dead. I suppose there's no better way to express the concept of hypocrisy than to say that here is something that is counterfeit. It's not what it leaves the impression of being. Something that has a front, but it is a false front. When I was in my teens, my father took our family to visit some relatives in Los Angeles, California. Frankly, if I had relatives that lived there now, they'd have to come see me. I don't believe there's anything out there that I would want to even see. But they lived reasonably nearby to a set of the movie industry where they make the motion pictures, and close by was a set where they make westerns, which is one of my favorite kind of movies when you can find them. And so we went to see this, and we walked right down the main street of this little town, and there were cabins, and there were stores, and there was a church, and there was a jail, and there was everything all lined up like you see it. And yet, if you look right around, there wasn't even a building there at all. It was just a front. It appeared to be real. But it was just propped up. It was a false front. Unfortunately, sometimes we are guilty of being just that way. Not really genuine. Not really true. King Herod was a person like that. Remember when the wise men came seeking the Christ child? They asked where he was. Herod didn't know. They found from the prophets that he would be born in Bethlehem. And Herod said, "Why, when you find him, let me know where he is so I can come and worship him too." That was a lie. He had no intention of worshiping the Christ child. He wanted to learn of his whereabouts so he could destroy him. He was a classic hypocrite. But as I have said, Jesus condemned the very few things more severe terms than he did the matter of hypocrisy. The word hypocrisy, or one of its forms, like hypocrite or hypocrites in the plural, appears some 28 times in the New Testament. It appears a number of times in the Old Testament, and always it is sharply condemned. But I think that we see the Lord's attitude toward this matter in the very fact that of these 28 times that appears in the New Testament, 23 of those times are in the conversation of Jesus Christ. He focused upon this matter. He was concerned about this. He knew the reality of it. And he held it in contempt. Take your New Testaments, if you will, and turn with me, and let us read some of the passages that our Lord spoke concerning this matter, and then you will get the mind of Christ of the subject of which we speak this morning. The first in Matthew chapter 6. Beginning with verse 1, he said, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Oh, how these people wanted to appear to be so generous and so compassionate that they would give to those whom they considered to be less fortunate, but they did it so that they could show their own goodness and others would praise them for it. Look at verse 5. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." Well, how were they? "For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." It's all show. It wasn't a sincere prayer at all. Look at verse 16. "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Now when one might fast, he might not look as vibrant as he might at other times, but they would not even fast, but they would even make themselves appear to be that way, appear to be fasting, so that people would know, oh, how religious, how pious, how wonderful people they were. And it was all a false front. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 5. "Judge not," verse 1 down to verse 5. "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." What's the problem here? The problem was not in the making of judgments. We can't live life without the making of judgments. Jesus admonished to make righteous judgments. But the problem here is a person who finds fault with others. But in a most hypocritical fashion, he will neither admit to but even condone his own faults. Brethren, that's hypocrisy. Turn a little bit further now to Matthew chapter 15. Follow with me as I read.
verse 7 through 9. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Here are people who, even as we at this moment, this is not an accusation, this is an observation. People who, even as we, have assembled for the purpose of, with the mouth and with our lips, praising God, worshiping God, at least to make it appear so. But the heart was not there. The conviction was not true. The intent was not pure. There were other motives and other reasons for their assembling and for their appearance, appearing to worship. Turn to Matthew 22, verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. Now get the setting. Jesus was teaching. What a wonderful thing it might appear on the surface that here were people who wanted to hear Jesus teaching. You'd think that'd be great. But they came for the purpose to find fault with what he had to say. They came for the purpose, if they could, to find some inconsistency, some contradiction, something in which they could entangle him in his speech. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, notice how they lay it on the thick. We know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, that is, you're not partial toward anybody, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Now they come praising Christ. Did they really love the Lord? Would they really praise Him? Did they really consider Him in this fashion? Indeed, they most certainly did not. They were putting on a front in order to ask Him a question. A question that they thought He could not answer without in some way either alienating the Jews who hated to pay tribute to the Romans or offending the Romans by getting the people not to pay their just taxes. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? And then he went on to give answer, Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's. Their hypocrisy was obvious in their sweet talk, but Jesus, knowing the hearts of men, he knew their evil and sinister motives behind what they were doing. Now, probably the most severe condemnation that we read that fell from the mouth of Christ while he was here on this earth was his condemnation of hypocrisy, of which we read in Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Turn to Matthew chapter 23, and if you do not have your Bibles, please pay close attention to these words. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, that is, they teach the law of Moses. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not. Now we're taught to walk with the Lord. But here are people that their religion was all talk and no walk. Oh yes, they could say great things. But their life, their conduct, their behavior was not according to the things that they said. Now, beginning with verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. They didn't want any part of it. They didn't want anybody else to have part of it.
Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye cup a sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, and notice now for several verses what he says of them. He calls them blind guides. Verse 17, ye fools and blind. Verse 19, ye fools and blind. Beginning again with verse 23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Notice how fastidious they were. How precise they were in outward religion. For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done, not leave the other undone. He called them, verse 24, blind guides. Verse 25, he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres. Now here's a tomb, all painted up and looking beautiful, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Now there's the Lord's description of a hypocrite. He says, even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Jesus called them in verse 33, ye serpents. He said, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? And there the word hell is Gehenna, which refers to the fiery eternal torment of hell, where Satan rules supreme. Can there be any question as to the Lord's attitude toward hypocrisy? Now, the some five times that the word hypocrisy appears outside of the word of Christ, one of them is in Paul's letter to the Romans, where he said, let love be without dissimulation. That means hypocrisy. Is there anything more cruel? Is there anything more deceitful than to say, I love you, but at the same time you don't manifest a loving attitude and behavior toward an individual? Is there anything more reprehensible than to profess adoration and love and praise of God, and yet you really don't love His ways because you don't try to live and conform life according to the ways of God? Paul says that's hypocrisy. I suppose we all like to be classified as a religious people. We'd rather be thought of as a righteous people. There's a certain benefit to being looked upon in that fashion, to be sure. And so we want to have that kind of front for others to see. But brethren, it might be like those stores and cabins and so forth on the movie front. It's just all show on the front and not genuine, each man being his own judge before God in this matter now. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 13, we read about a time when there was dissimulation or hypocrisy in the life of Peter. Now I want you to keep in mind how that the Lord used the Apostle Peter to go down and preach the gospel for the first time to Gentile people at the house of Cornelius. I want you to be mindful of the fact that brethren had met and discussed this matter of the equality of Jew and Gentile in the cause of Jesus Christ. And yet, we find the Apostle Peter here on one occasion here in the city of Antioch when certain Jews came into that congregation. Peter heretofore had been associating with the Gentiles, being with his brethren, eating with them. But because these people had the idea that the Jews were more special before God than the Gentiles, Peter backed away from his Gentile brethren. Now he knew better than that. He had taught better than that. Before these men came, he had behaved in a more honorable fashion than that. It was on that occasion that the Apostle Paul withstood him to the face. He said, because he was to be blamed. The reason he was to be blamed was because they were being hypocrites. Even Barnabas, the man who had accompanied the Apostle Paul on certain missionary journeys preaching the gospel to Gentiles, also was moved to pull away from his Gentile brethren. That was the epitome of hypocrisy, of two-facedness, of appearing to be what they really were not. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, we learn that hypocrisy would always be a very prevalent sin. James 3 and verse 17, we learn that there's no hypocrisy in the wisdom of God. And the last time the word hypocrisy is used is in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, when it is shown to be a trait and a characteristic the Christian is to put away from him. There is no compatibility between pretense, show, outward display that's not genuine, that's not true, that's not real. The false front, the hypocrisy, why it's a widespread thing. You know, school teachers soon learn about this. Now, none of you ever did this, but it is called apple polishing. Did you ever do that? You know, you just sort of butter up to the teacher, bring them an apple. I took one time, and somebody said, give this apple to the teacher. Well, I didn't bring one, but I thought, boy, that'll be good. What I found out later, the trick was on me. The apple had a worm in it. She thought I was the one that was acting smart. I got caught. Well, why did I do that? Well, I want to get in good with Miss Anna here. I want to appear to be a better student, more respectful than I really was. Sometimes hypocrisy raises its ugly head in our associations with other people. We appear to be a certain way. We'll make certain statements. We'll look like we have certain attitudes and ideas. And it's not that way at all. Friend, that's hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is very prevalent in the realm of business. And you know, hypocrisy is just... It's just, now let me tell you, every headache medicine can't be the strongest. Now that's all there is to it. Every car can't ride the smoothest. That's just advertising propaganda. It's not true. It's to put on an attitude or an idea that's really not true. Sometimes people turn away from the church because they say they're hypocrites in the church. Well, as I read in the Bible, there always has been and probably always will be. Is that a good reason to turn away from the church because they're hypocrites in the church? Do you turn away from all business operations because there's hypocrisy in business? Let me tell you something. If you think you can hide behind the hypocrite in the church, you just remember, whatever you can hide behind is bigger than you are. And that doesn't make you look too good, does it? And whatever you let come between you and God, you just keep in mind, they're closer to God than you are. And so as you want to denounce the church sometime because there is hypocrisy that raises its ugly head in the Lord's church, you don't have any defense there. You don't have any right to try to cast off the blood of Jesus Christ because some frail, weak, sinful human being stumbles and falls or even pretends to be a Christian when they're not. There is such a temptation to be a hypocrite in the matters of religion. I read a little article not long ago, and it was entitled, "You There. Why do you go to church?" You'd be surprised at the reasons people go to church. There are people in church buildings this morning on this day that's falsely called Easter that hadn't been there since Christmas. All the preachers will have to wish them Merry Christmas because they won't be back until Christmas. They go regularly, twice a year. Such blatant hypocrisy. Pretend to have an affection for the Lord. And they really don't. Some people go to church on a day like today because they finally got in their new spring wardrobe and they want everybody to see it. And they won't be back next Sunday because it's already gotten old now, you see. Nobody's going to take notice. They go to see and to be seen. Why do you go? Why are you here? Why do you come and make the pretense of worship? I'm not making accusations as to the lacking of your sincerity, genuineness. That's between you and God. I'm talking about the subject of hypocrisy, and that if it exists in our heart and life, it will damn our souls to hell. That's what I'm talking about. We ought to be what we profess to be. And we have to be what we profess to be, not just on Lord's Day at worship hour, but in every day, every association, all throughout our life. Isn't that right? Otherwise, why would not the brand of hypocrite properly rest upon our own head? And can't you see what the Lord thinks about that? For one to outwardly appear to worship God, go through the items and the acts of worship only to leave and look and talk and behave like the rest of the world, that's hypocrisy. To sing the song, "I love thy kingdom, Lord," but when it comes time to worship, when it comes time to work, you can't be found among the brethren. That's hypocrisy. Jesus has condemned it. Let me close the lesson with these words. My beloved, there's a better way to live than that. And that way is to live honestly, truthfully, uprightly before God and your fellow man. Now, possibly people are hypocrites because they want the love and respect of other people. May I suggest to you how you can have love and respect of other people? Seek first your love and respect for God. Because when you do that, you will be real, you will be sincere, you will be true. And that those that matter, they also appreciate that genuineness in you. But if you, in order to try to appeal and seek the praise and the applause of others round about, are willing to compromise, to go along, put on a front, why, the Lord is going to be displeased, and people eventually will see through your own transparency. I have to mention this one final thought on the matter of hypocrisy. A few years back, it's not so prominent, I don't hear it as much today, maybe it's just as much and I don't hear it. But a few years ago, there were those of a younger generation in their wild behavior, in their smoking of pot, in their immoralities, in their drunkenness, in their behavior that's so commonly characteristic of so many people today. They say, well, the older generation did the same thing, they just covered it up. They just kept it hidden. Kept it in the closet. You know what that means. Well, that's hypocrisy to do that. But there are some things better left in the closet. Homosexuality ought to be left in the closet. Adultery ought to be left in the closet. Drunkenness ought to be left in the closet. It's going to come out before God and God knows it. But you say, well, I want to be honest about it. I just want people to see me as I am. Why? You may not be so admirable as you think. Oh, you may well be honest and open, but you're also a bad influence. Keep it in the closet. If you're going to lie, try to cover it up at least. Have the decency to try to hide your sins so it won't affect other people to do the same dirty deeds you're doing. Don't you have that much integrity about you, concern about you, of other people to do that? So, well, I don't want to be a hypocrite. No, we don't want to be a hypocrite, but we don't want to be a bad influence either. But I'll tell you who is more subject than anybody else to hypocrisy. The people who live out here in the world like the devil, they couldn't care less. They don't care what you think. You turn on your television, the writers behind that filth, the people that are carrying it out, they couldn't care what they do. The vile venom that they pour out and spew from their mouths and their conduct, who do they care about? Nobody. Just that almighty dollar is all they're interested in. Do anything. Prostitute their lives for it. Who's subject to hypocrisy? Folks like us. Folks like us who appear outwardly to worship God, to love God. We carry our Bibles. We read our Bibles. We're the ones who are in danger of just putting on a front. And that's all we do if we don't really, genuinely live each day like the Lord teaches us to live. There is a saying that I have a hard time getting it straight. You can fool some of the people all the time, and you might be able to fool all the people some of the time, but you'll never fool God any time. Be sure your sin will find you out. Hypocrisy won't pay except in the wages of sin, which is death. Brethren, let us heed the warning of our Lord. Not be hypocrites. Be genuine and true. Be stalwart soldiers of the cross. Oh, wonderful song we sang together at the start of our worship. Rise up, O men of God. Let us truly be one. How can we be people of God until we first come to God through Christ? And you come to Christ by obeying the gospel, believing that Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins and confess your faith. Obey Him in baptism. And then live a consistent, persistent, faithful life. To just keep on keeping on. True and genuine to your commitment. Now, if you've once come to Him and that has not characterized your life, you need to come back and start over, and you can through repentance, confession, and prayer.